Good morning. Man, it is just fantastic to be here. This is the third worship service, I think, Pastor Ron, and one more after that. I was so emotional in the first service, I could hardly choke words out for a while because of the significance of this day. So let's pray, first of all, and then we'll get after it a little bit, okay? Lord, we would ask that for every person crowded in this sanctuary this morning, that there would be a moment, there would be a word that your Spirit would just synergize in our hearts and say, I had to hear that one, that I'll live with and let speak into my life. So toward that end, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Great to have you here, Pastor Ron. Thanks for inviting me. Thanks for the very gracious introduction at the start of the service this morning. It always makes me a little bit nervous if I can deliver after kind words like that. So thank you for that. I was in Springfield, Missouri one morning, and just before the sermon, the pastor gave just a glowing introduction. And I'm just a farm boy, you guys, from Nebraska. We live in Nashville, Tennessee now and stuff after a long time in Chicago. But just this glowing, elaborate introduction. And just before I stepped to the pulpit to preach, everybody just, you know, applauds. And I said, you know, I was a pastor in a church in Illinois for 25 years. And every time that I stepped to the pulpit, I thought, maybe someday it will be so good that they'll applaud at the end of the sermon. And you guys, you clapped before I even started preaching. How good is that? At the end of the service, and I'm not baiting you because I don't want you to do this. At the end of the service sermon, I'm walking back across this very long, ornate chancel area. One person in the back starts to do this, you know, and then everybody does it, very embarrassing. So thank you for the welcome introduction. I love your pastor. Deep respect for him. You heard him say at the start of the service that my wife Gail and I lead PLI, formerly known as Pastoral Leadership Institute. We train pastors, pastoral couples, other leaders to be better, more effective leaders of their congregations so they can be vibrant and growing and connecting people and reaching out with the mission of God. It's our conviction that leaders who lead with integrity and with character and clarity and boldness and lead congregations where they need to go and not necessarily where they just feel like going, the good things happen. I would like to say you got a winner here, right? Would you agree? So next Sunday, you're going to see PLI posters up all over the church with Pastor Ron's face on it as the poster child for PLI. So today is Mortgage Burning Sunday. Had you heard that? How many of you have been to a mortgage burning before? Raise your hand. A couple here, a couple there. Keep them up over here. There's four or five, how about over here? And maybe 10 or 15 or 20 of us. In my whole lifetime, I've been to one. One. So when Gail and I first started out in ministry from seminary, we were assigned to Aurora, Illinois. We stayed there for 25 years, by the way. And it was a congregation that worshipped 1,100 people on a Sunday morning 20 years earlier and had been on a fast race of decline toward death ever since. Welcome, new pastor. You know, here's the deal. We very early on fell in love with a passage from Ezekiel chapter 37, and it became the words that kind of defined the first 3 years of our ministry there. Because for all practical purposes, this was a congregation that deserved to die. hard to imagine in contrast with this, right? How many of you are winter visitors, residents here? A bunch of you, fantastic. My guess is that not all of you attend congregations back home that are vibrant like this one. Much of the church across the United States is in decline, and bunches of congregations are nearing death. Average ages in congregations in our own denomination are 68 years old. 68. So with that congregation, the passage in Ezekiel chapter 37 is a fascinating passage. You want to read it if you get a chance. God takes Ezekiel into a vision, and it's a valley of dry bones, and Ezekiel is in the middle of it, and God says, Ezekiel, what do you think can these bones live? At the same time this is going on, the nation of Israel is in exile for 70 years, and the people of Israel are asking the question, is there ever going to be life again for us? And there was an air of hopelessness, and Ezekiel said, in effect, I don't know, God, what do you think? And God said to Ezekiel these words. He said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the bones. Speak the words of God to the bones. And Ezekiel did. And bones began to clatter, and sinew and muscle began to fasten on them. But that doesn't bring life to them. And then finally, the Spirit of God blows and breathes life into those bones, and they come alive. And God was given that vision to Ezekiel to say that where everything looks dead, there's going to be life, I promise it. And it was our heart's desire, it was our prayer that God, if we speak to the bones, if we speak the words of God to the bones, would you bring life? Would you bring another opportunity? And God gave another opportunity. And we planted churches and started another campus, Hispanic ministry. And bunches of people came to faith and grew during those years that we were there. But it was 3 weeks before we left, after buying land and building buildings. And not that that's a big thing, but it's just a part of the journey, right? Just like it was a part of the journey here 3-4 years ago when you said, there's going to be a very low ceiling on the future of our congregation living out the mission of God in this place if we stay landlocked, right? Somebody told me it gets crowded in the parking lot here on Sunday morning. Is that true? Yeah. The folks at 7 or 7:30, whenever that first worship service was this morning, said, no problem, the lot's empty when we get here. And so the leaders here said, there's an opportunity. And it was kind of a scary opportunity if you were around back then. It was a scary opportunity for us as a congregation back then, but there was the heartbeat of faith. There was a focus on living out the calling of God in this congregation to do exactly that. And so this afternoon when we burn the mortgage over here, I want you to realize that there are steps of faith by just bunches and bunches of people that helped make that happen in all kinds of ways. And the generosity that overflowed and the sacrifices that happened to make that happen, I want you to celebrate that. And I want to tell you that for most of you, this would probably be your only opportunity, if you're like me, to attend a mortgage burning ceremony. And Pastor Ron, when you guys take the mortgage papers and throw them into the fire, I would like everybody that's there to whisper to the person next to them and say, there's opportunity. There's opportunity. You see, we're in a culture today where we pass stuff on for somebody else to deal with, somebody else to fix, somebody else to make right, right? I mean, it's an epidemic in our culture. And this is a congregation that said, no, no, no. We're not going to pass this on down the road so that it becomes a burden for the folks that come behind us. We're going to step forward and we're going to take care of it now so that there's opportunity. So in our congregation, 3 Sundays before Gail and I left to go to LCF and now to PLI, we burned the mortgage. Now, I said to the congregation, as the guy that's that's quickly slipping into the rearview mirror. 25 years in the front seat, now heading to the back seat and then into the rearview mirror. I said, there's opportunity. When you sense what God is calling you to do next, and when you get clarity of what the vision looks like going to the future, you won't have to say, we could do that, except for the burden that we're dragging with us called the mortgage. Do you know what I mean? So what I would like to do, if I could sanctify the moment today for just a second, I would love for all of us, you know, to be kind of like, you know, this is one of those days that you don't just, some of you just showed up for the first time this morning. I'd like to say, holy smoke, we showed up on a special day. You know, remember when Moses was in the wilderness and God showed up? And it was in a bush, and the bush was burning, but not burning up. And it was God that spoke to Moses, and God said to Moses, Moses, take off your sandals because you're standing on, anybody remember? Holy ground, right? And I'd like to hope that this afternoon there's a sense of standing on some holy ground. And I'd like to hope that there's a prayer in the air that, God, however you want to use this ground and use us, we're in. The thing I love about this congregation, and the thing that I am just so blessed to come back and greet so many of you that I got a chance to rub shoulders with, is that this is a congregation that has a sense that God's got a calling on its life. From the vantage point where I sit now, and we train just bunches of leaders. PLI this last year had its largest new enrolling participants ever in the history of PLI. We had almost 100 congregations sent their leaders to a 2.5-year learning community training so that they could become better leaders to lead their congregations, like what's happening right here. There seems to be a clarification going on across the landscape, at least it seems to me, you know, that congregations that are struggling and having problems and they're living for themselves and not living for Jesus or for the people that God's called them to be about, what kind of happens is that we get kind of muddled as to, well, what could be the problem? And there seems to be a level of clarity happening that if you're a congregation with a leader that can lead, there's a high probability that good things are going to happen. And when they lead with integrity and character, and they lead with courage, and they lead with a focus on the mission of God, there's a much higher likelihood that good things are going to happen, because when leaders get better, everybody benefits. Would you agree? Everybody benefits from that. And so people are saying, PLI, could you come and help train here and help train there? And those of you that are going back to congregations somewhere else, you might need to say to your leaders there, hey, it's time. It's time. Because see, what's going to happen this afternoon, we're going to be a little piece of legacy, if you will. Because a lot of folks think that legacy is out into the future, but legacy is what we put down right now that shows up in the future. So you're going to leave a legacy, right? You, sitting in your seat where you're at right now, you're going to leave a legacy. But the legacy is not going to be formed by what you do somewhere in the sweet by and by. It's what you do here in the present that lays down the legacy that will be behind you. And we got a picture of Gail, myself, and our grandson, Jack, to put up on the screen. And that one kind of looks like me, but that's Grandpa. This is our first grandson. Jack's 10 months old, and it looks like Gail up there, but actually that's Gigi. You know, and baby Jack a couple months ago came and stayed overnight at our house. And he didn't sleep real good. and I was taking the one shift up, you know, rocking back and forth, you know. Sometimes I kick myself that I don't pause and reflect on life better. Do you ever do that? I mean, if there's one thing I'm doing, I'm leaning forward and going hard. And I'm not necessarily taking time to stop and say, okay, so where are we and what's happening and who are you? And I'm rocking with this little seven-month-old grandson at this point. And it occurs to me, if God gives us a few more years of life, we're going to pour into that grandson stuff that he's going to live with for decades after I'm gone. Right? And today we're going to put some legacy into him. And then you know what I did? And I don't know why I never did this sooner. But I remember some little black and white pictures taken outside of a little farmhouse in Nebraska with a little baby cradled in some grandparents' arms. And I was the little baby. And I get all choked up at 3 o'clock in the morning because I realize that my grandpa and my grandma, my grandpa and my grandma, and some of my aunts and uncles, they had dreams for me, and they loved me, and they believed in me, and they took those early years to put legacy into me. And there's a part of who I am today and a part of what I live out today that's a result of people that plowed that into me who've been gone for decades in my life. Isn't that incredible? I'm going to guess you'd have that too, right? And if you're like me, you kind of like to say once in a while, like, man, is there a way I could just spin something back and say, you know, Grandma, thank you for doing that, you know. So when I say legacy, I see it through a different lens today. And the stuff we do today leaves the legacy tomorrow. I'd like to take you to the scripture. Probably should have done that a while ago, I'll bet, huh? The preachers in the room would tell me that. So this is in Acts chapter 13, and here's the context. The Apostle Paul is in the synagogue in Antioch, and they've asked Paul if he'd like to stand up and speak. And Paul says, yeah. He says, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you your story. And he begins to tell them about how they used to be in Egypt and they were slaves, and about Moses and about rescue and about Red Sea and about King David, the great King David that had been the leader of the nation of Israel when it was at its zenith. And David was a man after God's own heart. And John the Baptist came plowing the way for Jesus to come. And Jesus is a part of your story, even you here in the synagogue. It tells them about Jesus. And it comes to this passage, these two verses. And the Apostle Paul says, now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed, but the one whom God raised from the dead did not see decay. So here's what he's saying. The great King David living out the purpose that God had for him, and then he died. That catches my attention. I would love for somebody to sketch on my tombstone someday that the jock lived out the purpose that God had for his life. I'm just curious about you. I mean, it's really an act of discipleship, really. You know, Jesus said that if we're going to follow him, we're going to deny ourselves and take up a cross and follow after him as disciples. And so to live out God's purpose rather than my own purpose is a denial of self. So how are you doing at living out God's purpose in your life? Some of us genuinely would say, I'm not sure what that purpose would be. Others of us would say, I've had a different purpose. And some of us would say, I've got a pretty good sense of it, but you know, no. And then there'd be some of us would say, write it on my tombstone. That's what I'm trying to do. And I would challenge you, my dear friends, and keep in mind, I'm just the B-team preacher this morning, okay? The big guy, he'll be back next week, you know? And so as the B-team guy, I would just say to you, how you doing at living out God's purpose for your life? That's the corporate beauty of this congregation, I think, is that we have a heartbeat for whatever God's calling us to be about. We want to try to do that. And I'm curious on an individual level, whether you're here all year round or you're here for a while or you're just here like me showing up this Sunday and then heading off somewhere, how are you doing to live out God's purpose? You see, what's happened, I think, in lots of congregations today is that we live out our own purpose and are irregardless of what God's purpose might be in living out the mission of God to engage and change a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so what the Apostle Paul says, standing in a Jewish synagogue, he says, King David, when he got done living out God's purpose, he died and was buried in a grave and his body decayed in that grave. But Jesus is alive. And he's been laying the foundation for this, that Jesus, descendant of King David, fully God and fully man, lives out a perfect life, goes to a cross, is punished on that cross, so that you could be forgiven and not punished for your sins. And Jesus died on that cross, but on the third day, on Easter morning, Jesus rose from the dead. And while David is dead, Jesus is alive. What do you think about that at synagogue? So the reason why we gather, right, is because Jesus is alive. The reason why I have hope is because Jesus is alive. The reason why we pursue living out purpose, God's purpose for our lives, is because it's in response to what Jesus has done for us. Now, I signaled this to you a little bit ago, but I just want to kind of bring this loop back around, if you'd let me do it for just a second. You see, it's hard to imagine. How many of you are regular here at Risen Savior most of the time? I mean, it's hard for you to imagine. I mean, this is such a vibrant a community of believers with deep connections and wide, wide influence all around it here. But the church in the United States is in trouble today. And the Lutheran church in the United States is in even bigger trouble today. Most congregations will gather today and they'll count on one hand, if any, the number of adults in their 20s and 30s that are in those congregations. And that's a tragedy. That's a tragedy. And it amazes me that there seems to be such a muted response. You know, somebody should be ringing the bells and the alarms somewhere saying, what are we going to do? And our board, some of them here, challenged Gail and me and the rest of our whole PLI family. We don't want to see the Christian church end with a generation that right now is turning its back on the church. And if you want to get real about it, lots of you have kids and grandkids or great-grandkids that they ain't no church this morning. And our board said, let's not settle. Let's do like you guys do here and seize the opportunity. And so this summer we'll start going after that thing in a big, big, big way. And I would invite you to pray about it. But if that stirs your heart, you know, and you say, I want to lean in and help on that thing, you know, make yourself known to us, because God's got a calling on his church and a calling on your life. And you see, from my vantage point, what needs to happen. And you're welcome to disagree with me, okay, on this. There's an awful lot of folks shuffling around in dry bones in churches right now. You see, I can recognize it because I started out in one of those. And we said to each other back then, just like God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And our leaders said, we don't know, God. What do you think? And God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to the bones. We're in a season where leaders need to lead, and leaders need to lead skillfully. And we need to invest in leaders, because when leaders get better, everybody benefits. But the future looks a whole lot like needing the wind of the Spirit to blow, to breathe life into dry bones. And so I invite you not to settle. And when Pastor Ron or the leaders here say, here's where we're going next, here's where I think God's leading us, you see this opportunity and you get to the front of the line to say, how can I help? Because it's probably got something to do with living out your purpose, but it's probably got a whole lot more to do responding to what Jesus did on a cross and a grave that's empty today. There's probably one word that I said in all those words that got scattered through the sanctuary this morning that you need to remember. And so I would invite you that before you get very far here, you just kind of write down what it was that you need to remember. And you don't let it just drip by with the winter wind. Let's pray. This afternoon, Lord, when we gather, most of us, for our very first mortgage burning ceremony, may the ground feel holy. May our hearts be sensitive. May the wind of the Spirit have space to blow in our future. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for letting me be here. Let's gather our offering this morning.